fear before Him. Stop again. That means, Christians, that's a word of encouragement to us. And He's saying, I don't care if they gamble and cheat and swap wives and get drunk and whoop-de-doo and make their living cussing, lying, living like the devil. He said, I don't care how much they keep doing it. Just don't forget, it shall be well with them that fear God. Don't be deceived by this modern, educated, sophisticated, religious, rich, sinful crowd telling you it's all right, you can just go on in sin, nothing bad's ever going to happen, everything's cool, I'm doing just as good as you are, and look how I'm living, you say I'm doing wrong. Let me tell you something, brother. When all that crowd's dead and gone, it'll be well with them that fear God. Look at verse number 13. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days. See, God prolonged them up there in verse 12, but he can't prolong them. When God gets ready to pull the plug, son, he's going. When God flips the switch off, his heart stops, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Why men go on sinning? Now, I want to say four things briefly this morning and then tell you a couple of things in this message. Why people go on in their sin. You say, Brother Danny, I've known a man out here and he's lived like the devil for 40 years. I know an old lady over yonder, and boy, I've known her ever since I've known that woman. She's been just as mean and rotten and low down to the core. What's the matter with her? Why they go on sinning? Let me say four things. Number one, sentence is passed on an evil work as soon as it is committed by the righteous judge of heaven. Sentence is passed. That verse didn't say they don't go on in sin because they're not sentenced. God pronounces a sentence on a man when he does wrong. In the Garden of Eden, way back yonder, when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord come, and as soon as he talked to Adam, he immediately pronounced Adam's sentence. Now, regardless of what they're trying to tell you nowadays, I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty in heaven has never changed his mind about sin. He never has. He has never patted it on the back. God has never decided he might have been a little harsh back in the Old Testament and then now has changed his mind and said, well, I know I said thou shalt not commit adultery, but in this changing time that we're living in, an affair may be healthy for your marriage. And God has never adopted the views of our society to make himself popular or acceptable to modern man. God pronounces sentence on a man the moment that man sins. You teenagers, young people here this morning, you know, you get the impression from MTV and things like that that you can just go out and live it up and have a big time and nothing bad ever happens. And you go out and you smoke pot, or you go out and you get drunk, or you go out, but immediately God up in heaven, as soon as you commit that sin, writes out you're sentenced immediately for that sin. I'll guarantee you. Say, one of these fellas up here, one of you folks back there, last night you done something you shouldn't have done. You know what God done? He wrote it down. So and so, your name, your sin, and right then pronounced sentence on you. Now you're going to have to face it. That's all there are to it. You better grin while you got a chance, because God has already pronounced a sentence on you. He's the righteous judge, and he said, be sure your sin will find you out. Secondly, the execution of that sentence is often delayed, and that makes the sinner go on not only unpunished, but sometimes prosperous and successful. Now here's where the point of the message this morning comes in. And I hope you can understand this. God pronounces a sentence on you the split second you do wrong. He may not execute that sentence for many months or sometimes years. That's a proven fact. I can prove it to you from the Bible, and I will in just a moment before I get through. God, when a man does wrong or a woman goes wrong, God pronounces sentence on them immediately. The execution of that sentence comes maybe at a later date. which makes a person, number three, that makes their heart hardened, and the patience of God is abused. In other words, you see these things. The second you sin, God sentences you. A little bit later on, He lets that thing delay out and don't execute that sentence. He don't make you start serving your time immediately. There's a little period in there between the sentence and the execution. So, number three, that makes people harden their heart. So they do wrong, and Mama blesses them out, and she says, God's going to get you if you don't quit that. Oh, Mama, I've been doing this 5 months, 6 months, and nothing bad ain't happened to me. And they harden their heart against the Lord. Number four, sinners thereby deceive themselves until the punishment, when it finally does come, is more severe. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, and I sure wish I could tell everybody in the world this. I wish the Lord would let me get everybody in one big bunch one time and tell them that nobody gets by with anything. I'll say it again. Nobody, but nobody is getting by with anything. You don't know at the times. I've had someone call me on the telephone, and or they'll say, can I talk to you? And I'll say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. They'll sit in my office and bawl and say, Brother Danny, I just found out my husband's left me. And he told me that he didn't love me anymore. Or she told me that she just didn't care about me anymore. And then I found out some people that he works with called me and told me that he's been seeing another woman. And it's the same old story. You hear it all the time. It's just a cheap trick. And boy, they just go on and on and on about how much misery they're in, and they shed tears, and their heart is broken, and I've had them sit in my office and say, it just don't seem fair. Here I am having to pay for everything, and I'm having to take care of the kids and explain to them why their mama don't come home at night or where their daddy's at, and I'm trying to do all this and keep the family together. He's just off out there having a big time, and nothing bad's happening to him. I'm saying to you this morning, nobody gets by with nothing. Nobody gets by with nothing. Just because the hammer hadn't fell yet does not mean that God has overlooked a person's sin. I'm saying, folks, God overlooks no man's sin. And just because execution is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men go on in evil. I'm saying to you this morning, I don't care who you are or how big you think you are or how tough you may seem today. If you're doing wrong, God has pronounced you guilty, and only time will tell when He's going to get you. Yeah, they'll laugh at the judgment of God now. You think it's funny now? Oh, that's crazy. I never felt better in my life. Nothing can happen to me. The Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. There's any person that took off for a big wild Labor Day weekend that planned out a bunch of stuff that is in hell right now. They were killed. They were snuffed out. God said, finally, it's enough. And sentence was executed upon them. Tradition says that over in London years ago, a man wrote the most 20 prominent men in London a letter. And all he said was, quote, all is discovered. Leave town as soon as possible. And all 20 of them left town. Undercover, every one of them living like a devil. And they thought somebody had found out about it. Now let me tell you something, folks. You think it's bad what you hear on the radio. And you think it's bad what you hear about in the Charlotte Observer or the Asheville Citizen and everything. Man, it would curdle your blood if you knew what went on in McDowell County last night. You say, well, how do you know? I'm guessing. I know, I've been around people, I've been messing around with people, hundreds of people, thousands of people for 14 years now preaching. And you know what I found out in 14 years of dealing with people? You can't put nothing past them. That's right, brother. You can't put nothing past a human being. human beings will do things dogs won't do. If we didn't have such a mixed, nice-looking crowd here this morning, I could tell you. Human beings, well, don't, Lord, help them scientists think we come from monkeys. If monkeys knew that, they'd take a fit and rebel against us for claiming to be kin to them. I ain't never seen a monkey beat his wife. Beat his little old monkeys and starving to death. I ain't never seen a monkey hold a little baby monkey down and hold a cigarette on it and burn its body and throw it in hot scalding water. I've never seen a monkey go out and get drunk. You know, I ain't never seen a monkey build a fence around his coconut tree and shoot another monkey for getting on his property. Lord, don't blame it on them, man. But the truth is, it goes like this. God up in heaven, the second you do wrong, puts down your judgment. Now, just because you're getting a little grace period here does not mean you've gotten by with anything. As a matter of fact, people take it all wrong. God's giving them space to repent, but instead they're saying, well, he must not care. See, there, nothing bad happened to me. I'm going on. All of you have met people like this. But see, the Lord's always got a record. They're like up in New Hampshire. I heard about this. Somebody had their house broke into, and the police went over to investigate, and the burglar was real easy to catch. Because when he backed out, he backed his car right into a snowbank and left his license tag number sticking right in that snow. Uh-oh. You thought you was getting by with something the other day too, didn't you? And right then, brother, God wrote it down up in heaven. He's caught you. You're caught. Only going to be a matter of time till the axe falls. You're going down, don't worry. Let me tell you a Bible story right quickly. Turn to Daniel chapter number 4. I don't usually do this, ask you to turn to scriptures like this, but I feel like you need to see it. Daniel chapter 4. Right over to your right there from Ecclesiastes. I think right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 4. Let me show you an old boy here that illustrates this truth. Usually, every truth you ever preach from the Bible, there's somebody in the Bible that illustrates it. And this man illustrates this truth that I'm preaching to you this morning. Why men go on sinning. Look at Daniel chapter 4. And first of all, look at verse number 10. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 10. King Nebuchadnezzar here had a dream. And I want to give you this king's dream from what he said here in the Bible. Daniel 4:10. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beast of the field had shadow, or the beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls under heaven. Of heaven dwelt in the bowels thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of mine head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. Uh-oh. A watcher. And an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with a beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. The king had a dream. He had a tree, great big tree. Watcher came down, whack it down. He didn't understand the dream. He called in a man to interpret it. His name was Daniel. Verse 27. Wherefore, O king, Daniel speaking now, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Uh-oh, look at it. If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon, that I've built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass like as an oxen. And 7 years there would pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Here's an illustration of what I'm saying this morning. Here's a man who is king of Babylon. He's the top dog, man. He is the big shot over the kingdom. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. And he went around and he strutted around like he is some kind of big shot. And he went in sin. The Bible calls it iniquity. He went in unrighteousness. I'm saying to you, he done wrong. He didn't do right. He was doing wrong. Like some of you sitting here this morning. Oh, you're here in church today, but you're doing wrong. And because nothing bad ain't happened, you think it's all right. And you think God's a wallet. I thought it was wrong to do this, but I've been doing it now for several months, and I'm getting along fine. Nothing bad's ever happened to me. That's just what he thought. And brother, did he ever lay down one night and have a dream? And God Almighty in this dream showed him a big tree. And there's a great big tree there, and it's strong, and birds could sit on the limbs, and it had fruit, and it fed people, and it had leaves, and it shattered people. That was a picture of him. And about that time, somebody fell down from heaven called a watcher. Wonder what them watchers do. You reckon they watch? You reckon somebody's watching you last night? You reckon somebody's watching you the other day? And the watcher came down and said, cut it down! And only leave a stump. And boy, he woke up and he thought, boy, God's trying to tell me something. What is this dream I've had? And so they called Daniel in, and Daniel said, Kingy boy, the tree is you, and the watcher is the judgment of God. And he said, God's getting ready to knock your block off. Now stay with me just a second. He said, King, God has pronounced judgment on you, big boy. And if I was you, I'd be getting down on my knees and I'd be getting right with God. And the king says, well, everybody lives like this nowadays. Don't you know, boy, this is a modern day, and that stuff you're preaching went out with choo-choo trains and riding horses. Don't you know that the people don't bleed that way no more? Don't you know that God is good and God is love? And Daniel said, well, I don't know about all that, son. I know one thing. You better get your act together, because God is getting ready to knock the props out from under you. And he said, but Daniel, you're not with it, son. Have you ever been to seminary? And Daniel said, thank God, no. And he said, Daniel, you need to learn a few things. And you need to learn how to be nice to people and not have such a judgmental spirit and have such a condemning attitude. And you must learn how to be nice and treat, pat people on the back. And Daniel said, I don't know about this, King, but you're talking like some kind of demon to me. He said, King, I know one thing. You've been doing wrong, and God's pronounced your judgment, and you better straighten up, son. You better get right with God. He's going to cut you down, and they're going to leave. You're going to be left from the kingdom, and you're going to have to go out and eat grass like an ox, and your fingernails are going to grow like eagle's claws, and you're going to have feathers like your hair on your back. And King said, oh boy, I'll be in Motley Crue then. And Daniel said, now shut up now, this ain't no time for joking. He said, you're going to have feathers, and your hair is going to be like feathers. You're going to have claws sticking out of your fingers. And it ain't going to be fun, son, because you're going to have to eat grass. And I'll bet you that shook him up. Being the king that he was, I'll bet you it shook him up. Let's picture it now. He just heard that from the preacher. Here he goes home, walking back in the palace. Well, I don't know, huh? I wonder if that thing, I don't know, maybe, reckon he's telling the truth. Man, I better, maybe I better cut down to just a few beers a day. Maybe he was telling the truth. He went home and he sat down. He's just looking for that watcher to come down and take him out of the kingdom. He looked at his fingernails, see if it's growing. He felt his hair. He said, my body ain't high. Maybe this thing is true. Really, I don't think he meant it. I believe that's just an old kook. I believe that's one of them old country preachers just trying to scare people into his religion and stuff. Maybe he was telling the truth. Maybe God is trying to tell me something. Maybe I better do something fast. Maybe I have been too lax. I'll bet you that night he tossed and he turned. And nothing happened. I bet he was surprised to wake up the next morning in his right mind. But he did. And he woke up that morning and everything was fine. And the bad thing about it is the next day it was fine. And somebody said, "Do you know what's wrong with the king? He's been acting funny lately. I ain't seen him been doing nothing but we took his Hustler edition of Playboy over there and he ain't even got it out of his mailbox. Is he sick? Something wrong with him? He hadn't been throwing any parties?" Oh, he went down there and heard that fanatic preacher, and he's got him all scared. They ought to pass a law against them people. Put them in jail for mentally abusing people like the king. Son, little by little, I believe his scare began to wear off. You know what the Bible said? 12 months. 12, you know how long that is? 1 year. And I imagine about the 8th and 9th month, he's just as cocky and haughty. I don't guess it took him 8 months, do you? I'd say within 2 weeks. You've seen people, God will really get a hold of them and scare them real good. Man, they think God's going to judge them and everything. Man, they'll straighten up for about 8 hours. And one day he's out in the kingdom a year later. And he just decided he'd walk out and look over all his great accomplishments. And he said, "Is this not great Babylon? I'm the king of Babylon. I have anything I want. People jump when I say jump. Boy, they move when I say move. I have slaves working for me. I'm the greatest man in the world. I'm on top of the world. Got it by the tail, man. I've got it all figured out. Got anything I want. Can do anything I want. Can go anywhere I want. I'm King Nebuchadnezzar." About that time he thought, I remember that crazy preacher down there. He must have thought I was a fool to believe that. God's not going to do that to me. King Nebuchadnezzar, good night. He knows really I'm good at heart, and I don't really mean nothing by all this stuff I do. Why, just the other day I sent some money down there to help some poor people. I'm doing fine. Nothing bad wrong with me. Boys, about that time, man, there's a voice come out of heaven. And boy, like thunder fell on his ears. While the word was in the king's mouth, somebody come down and said, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee." And about that time it went, boom. Had like a seizure. And they saw, blah, 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 and went stumbling through the kingdom and couldn't even talk. Blubber and slobber and coming down his lip. He went stark raving mad. God took his brain. His fingernails growed out like eagle claws. His hair like feathers. And he ate grass. And they put him out in the pasture and fenced him in like a wild animal. You know when that happened? 1 year after God spoke it to him. You know why he went on sinning? Because the execution was delayed. There was a place called Port Royal, Jamaica. And down in Jamaica, for years, long time ago, this city was considered the most wicked city in the world. All the pirates and buccaneers and buckaroos and all of them came off of their ships. And they said they were prostitutes, there was gambling, there was liquor in the streets, there was all kinds of vice, murder, and rape flourished. There was virtually no control by the police. They just went on and on and on and had the reputation of being the most wicked city in the world. You know what God done? He didn't do nothing until 1962. And in 1962, all of a sudden on the quiet side of that city, water around there so close, there was 2 humongous giant earthquakes. And those earthquakes shook that town so much, those big cracks opened up in 12 places in that city. As those cracks opened up, sulfur flames, hot fire, would shoot and leap up out after those people. Men, women, boys and girls went screaming and torturing down into that fiery pit alive. They said that the seawater was pushed back by the force of that earthquake for one half of a mile. It split all to pieces, toppled dozens and scores of screaming men, women, boys and girls into the heart of the earth. The choking sulfur flames choked those people. The waves come back in, washed built, knocked buildings right off their foundation, leveled that thing to the ground. And in just a few minutes, the whole city sunk and went out of sight. For years, they'd gotten by like Charlotte, like Atlanta, like Nashville, like Miami, like Dallas, like New York, like San Francisco, like Winston-Salem, like Hickory, like Marion. They'd gotten by and 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 gotten by. But the day finally comes when God says, it's over, and judgment falls. That's why men go on sinning. They get by with it for a while. And my message to you this morning is, if you're here and you're doing wrong, you're living in sin, whether you feel like it or not, you better get that thing right with God and repent and get it cleaned up, because judgment is coming. It's coming. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. They're coming. Musicians are coming to get us a song. In just a few seconds, we're going to pray. We'll be standing to sing some song of invitation. I don't know who you are this morning, and I know this has been a hard message for you to swallow, maybe, if you're living in sin. The reason the wine bottles were turned up last night, the dope was passed around, the parties were in full swing, is because people think they're getting by. Friend, let me leave you with this word this morning. You're not getting by. You're not getting by. Get it right this morning, will you? Get it right this morning before you leave. Father, do what ought to be done today. Please, dear Lord, please speak to somebody's heart. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move upon them. Whoever it is that needs to get things right with you today, I pray they'll come and join these that's already on the altar. Get their life right with you before it's too late. Help them to make that step now. They've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Help them to make it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Let's stand and sing. Number 283. While we sing, if God's speaking to your heart, won't you come right now? Will you come right now? Come on! Amen. Have you been out there and seeing too long? Why don't you come on this morning? Come on. That's right. Come on, let God speak to your heart today. Come on to Jesus. Your heart today.
Open wide thine arms of love.
Amen.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Before we sing that next verse, a preacher don't get some kind of sadistic thrill out of warning people of judgment. Don't take me wrong this morning. I don't enjoy getting up here telling you God's going to get you. It's not fun. I'd love to be able to tell you everything's well. Brother, you look at our world today. Everything's not well. We're in trouble. We're in bad shape, folks. And we think we're doing fine because we've got a car and we've got food and we've got clothes and we've got friends and we feel good and everything. It's only going to be a matter of time till God's judgment begins to fall. If you're not ready to meet the Lord today, just like you are, please. I'm trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to be have a wrong spirit, condemn people. I'm telling you that God loves you, but He won't let you die with your sin. Come on right now. Come on, let God help you today. Let the Lord do what ought to be done in your life, will you? You've wasted many precious years. Now come on. Right, come on.
Lord, I'm coming. Lord,
everybody, let's sing it. Everybody, will you sing?
Coming.
Come on home. Come on home today. Come on home today. You know what you ought to do. Come on home today. Amen. You'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied till the Lord's working in your heart once again. Amen. Amen. One more verse, brother. Won't you come on home? One more verse while these are praying. One more verse. Ain't you tired of that old sin? Ain't you tired of that life you're living? Come on home. Come on. Come on home today. Don't go on in sin just because God hasn't punished you yet. Everybody on the chorus now, sing it.
Coming home, coming home. Evermore to go.
That's right, amen. Maybe still praying. Thank God for you that allowing the Lord to speak to your heart. I want you to think on this thought. Run this thought through the Scripture. Check it out sometime. Sometimes God will kill somebody immediately. But other times, He lets them go for a while. And if He's let you go, you ought to thank Him for it. Space to repent. Get it right before it's too late. Youth choir, this evening, 5:30. All the young people, be sure and be here. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Have a good afternoon. Be sure and be back to service tonight, 7:00.